control. Or in other words, what the writer is getting ready to say is something that we should consider a blessed assurance that should control all of our thoughts and all of our feelings concerning all the problems that we have to go through. And he says it's this, that Christ hath regarded our helpless estate. And I hope you realize this morning that we have a helpless estate. It's not just talking about salvation. I mean, he came down and made the provision where we could make no way for ourselves. But did you know there's a lot of other things we face that we don't have provisions for in and of ourselves too? And we need to understand this morning that God understands that, and because of that, he has regarded to the fullest extent possible our helpless estate. I want to read to you out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And before we get started, I want to tell you what my prayer has been for this service. Yesterday, as I was burdened for it and just seeking the face of God, I don't want this to be just a message that is doctrinally sound that we all agree with and we leave with this knowledge and all those different things. But I want it to be something that we get excited about because we can actually experience it. You know, this book is alive. Our relationship with God should be alive. It's not dusty truth. It's not just rules and regulations. I mean, there are benefits to serving God, folks. In verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ, in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's read that again. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to preach to you on an all-sufficient Savior. That no matter what problem or need we could ever possibly have in our life, Christ hath regarded our helpless estate. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, and I pray that you would make this message that you've laid on my heart real to your people. That we would be encouraged and excited by the promise that you've given to us in this text. That it wouldn't be dusty truth or just sound doctrine that we have a knowledge of but never go on to experience. But Lord, we understand that you've extended this promise to us for a reason, and that's so that we could partake of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, as human beings, we have all different kinds of needs in our lives, don't we? Amen. The fact of the matter is no matter how independent we might think we are, how self-sufficient we might claim to be, we are still a very, very needy people. And it would do us good this morning if we would humble ourselves and admit that. Every single one of us have tremendous amounts of needs in our life. And it's really amazing to me that regardless of all the amazing technological advancements that we've achieved as human beings, and despite this great intelligence that we claim to have and that we've acquired, there's always going to be certain things in our lives that we simply cannot do for ourselves. And here's what I mean by that. As human beings, we have the ability and the intellect to put a man on the moon. But we can't cause that man to live forever, can we? I mean, here we have such an advancement, such power in and of ourselves to send a man into the moon. But yet we are completely unable and always will be to keep him alive forever. I mean, we have the ability as human beings to orbit our solar system. But we can't create another one, can we? No. I mean, we can do all of these amazing things, but we're still so very limited when it comes to all these different areas of our lives. And the reason why is because when it comes to certain areas of our lives, we have to admit that we are insufficient. we're incapable, we're unable of meeting certain needs that we have inside of our lives. I mean, we've got to get a hold of the fact that even though we're so intelligent, even though we have all of these abilities, there are certain things that we're never going to be able to do. It's just the way that it is. So regardless of our independence or our abilities or our intelligence and all these other areas, there's still different areas and needs in our lives that we are never going to be able to meet for ourselves, no matter how desperately we might try or wish that we could. And there's basically three different types of needs that a person has in their lives. First of all, we have emotional needs. I know a lot of guys don't like to admit up to that, but the fact of the matter is, that's the way God's created us. We all have emotional needs in our lives. Second kind of need we have is we have physical needs, don't we? Every single one of us do. Third kind of need that we have, and the most important, is our spiritual needs. Now, when I say that we have emotional needs in our lives, I'm talking about things like this. Our need to be loved. You say that to a lot of guys, well, I don't need anybody to love me. Yes, you do need somebody to love you. I mean, who here wants to be treated like some kind of ogre that lives under a bridge somewhere? That everybody hates and just can't stand? We all want to be loved. We all want to be liked. We want to have some kind of, you know, camaraderie with people. I mean, we want to be able to have companionship and friendship. I mean, we have a desire in ourselves for a mate. I mean, we were just made that way. That doesn't make us weak. It makes us human beings. We have emotional needs. Emotionally, we have a need to be at peace with the people that are around us. I mean, that's why we feel bothered when there's contention or bitterness between us and somebody else. It's because that's not how we were created. God wants us to be at peace with people, and that's an emotional need we all have. We have the need emotionally to be free from things like stress, worry, loneliness, depression, anxiety. Those are all needs that we as human beings have to have met in our lives in order for us to maintain our emotional well-being. Just the way we were created, folks. It's the same way with all of us. Then when I say that we have physical needs in our lives, I'm talking about needs like food and water. The air that we breathe. Being free from things like disease and sickness and fatigue and weariness. I mean, all of those physical things are needs that every single one of us have in our lives that are essential. They're requirements. They have to take place or we're going to be in big, big trouble. Then when I say that we have spiritual needs in our lives, I'm talking about things like our need for salvation. And regardless if you know it or not this morning, we all have a need for salvation. I mean, I'm talking about things like our need for divine guidance, where God would come down and do exactly what He said He would do in the book of John, where He would lead us and guide us into all truth. Because there's going to be times when we don't know which way to go, and we're going to be relying upon Him to show us. When I say we have spiritual needs, I'm talking about our need for the divine enablement and empowerment so that we would have the ability to resist temptation when it comes our way. So we'd have the ability to live the holy lives that God has called us to lead so that we would have the power inside of our lives to be able to go out and make a difference and be used of God to further His kingdom in this world just like He wants us to. And when it comes down to all these things and all these needs we have as humans, this particular area, when we're talking about spiritual needs, is the needs that we have in the greatest way. And the reason I say that is for two reasons. Number one, because we are not spiritual in and of ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people that teach that there's three parts to the human makeup, you know, body, soul, and spirit. I mean, that's not necessarily the way it is. I mean, when we're born into this world, yes, we have a body and yes, we have a soul, but we are not spiritual until we become born again. So we have a need in our spiritual lives to even become spiritual, and the only way that we can do that is through being born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then the second reason I say it's the greatest need is because there isn't anything that we can do for ourselves spiritually in and of ourselves, but we are always totally dependent upon God to come and meet all of our spiritual needs. Always. But regardless of which of those three areas we're talking about, whether we're talking about our emotional needs, our physical needs, or our spiritual needs, we have a tremendous amount of needs in every single one of those areas that we cannot meet for ourselves, but at the same time, they have to be met in order for us to survive. So we're in a real dilemma, aren't we? I mean, we understand that there's things that we can't do for ourselves. There's emotional needs that we cannot meet for ourselves that have to be met unless we want to go crazy. There's physical needs that have to be met in our lives or we will perish most certainly. There's spiritual needs that God has to come down and accomplish inside of our lives or they will never come to pass. So we're in a dilemma. We have all kinds of needs as human beings and we don't have any way of meeting them. But that's where the promise of our text comes in. Where I said that Christ hath regarded our helpless estate. He looks down on a group of people on this earth that have all kinds of needs in their lives with no way of meeting them. And this is what he said to them. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, what we're being promised in that text is no matter what kind of needs we'll ever have to face, and no matter how insufficient we might be in and of ourselves to be able to meet them, we serve a God that can meet our needs and who has promised that He would do so. And if you want to get excited about something, that's a good place to get excited about it. Because after all, when we understand that physically we have to have air to survive, you can get a little bit excited when you understand that God's supplying that for us right now. Anybody here have the ability to whip up some air, you know, just out of nothing? I mean, we have to have food to eat. I cannot create food out of thin air. I'm glad that He's regarded my helpless estate. I have a need in my life that I have to be saved if I'm ever going to make it into the kingdom of God. There are no good works that I can perform that will usher me into His kingdom. I'm glad we have this promise, friend. And there's five things that we need to understand about this promise when it comes to God coming down and telling us, promising us, that He is going to meet our needs. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this promise is the fact that God has promised to meet our needs and not our wants. Very important that we understand that because a whole lot of people are confused about that. In this text and everywhere in the Bible, God promises to meet our needs, but nowhere does He promise that He would meet our wants. I want you to notice what it says in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the definition of that word that's used there and translated to need in the Greek would probably be best defined in our modern vernacular as necessity. Okay. Really, when you study it out, that word actually in the Greek means requirement. So what we could do is when we read this verse, it's actually saying this, is that God has promised to meet all of our necessities or everything that is required for life. It's not saying that He's going to come down and grant our every desire. I mean, every wish, everything that we want, everything that we covet or crave. That's not what it's saying. There's no verse in the Bible that says that He will do that. But in the day and hour we live in, that's what people believe. Now, it's very important that we realize that because a lot of times we see the things that we need and the things that we want all on the same list. When somebody says, hey, you know, what kind of things do you need? Well, it's a list this long, but when you begin to understand that what this verse is actually saying is those things that are a necessity for you, all of a sudden that list gets a whole lot shorter. Now, the fact of the matter is that people feel like they need all kinds of stuff. And because they feel that way, they get really confused about what this verse is actually promising. And they say, well, man, you know, because I want all this stuff and they turn want into need, then after all, God is promising to do all these things that I'm coveting after. Does that make sense to you? And because of their misguided views concerning this promise, they fall into all kinds of misguided thoughts concerning this promise as well. And here's what you hear people say. Is they'll come up all frustrated and even having the audacity to be angry with God, and they'll say things like this. Well, man, if God really loved me and if He really kept the promise that He made and that text that preacher was reading this morning, then He'd come down and He'd meet my needs. But the fact of the matter is He's not meeting my needs. And then when you ask Him, you say, well, you know, why do you feel that way? I mean, what need in your life isn't God meeting, you know? They'll say, well, you know, my neighbor's got a brand new minivan and mine's just a 2002 and it's starting to get rust on it and stuff like that. And if God was going to meet my needs, then surely I'd have a new one. Now, you might think that sounds silly, but I've heard people complain about that before. I mean, if God was really going to meet my needs, I'd have a brand new Hummer. A new Suburban or a sports car. I mean, if God was going to come down and do what He promised that He would do, I'd have all this stuff. As a matter of fact, I just have a 3-bedroom ranch. Don't even have a basement. And there's people out there on the golf course that have a house that's 4 times the size of mine and that's worth twice as much. And if God was going to come down and meet my needs, then I'd have a house just like theirs. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I'm telling you, I hear this kind of stuff all the time. You know, I only make $50,000 a year, and there's people that make 6 times that amount. You know, if God was really going to meet my needs, then He'd come down and He'd increase my bank account. Have you ever heard somebody complain like that? The whole reason behind it is because they fail to realize that God had never promised that they'd always have the best of everything. Nor has He ever promised that they would have everything that they ever wanted or desired. But He did promise that He would give them everything that they would ever be in need of. Meaning everything that would be required for them to be able to make it through life. Their necessities. Okay, so when you hear somebody say things like that, their anger is really just based off their misinterpretation of that text and not off of God's neglect to keep His promises. We've got to understand that God said that He would meet those essential things for us to live. If you're a child of God. I mean, if you're unsaved, God is under no obligation to do anything for you. I mean, but when you're saved, I mean, let's look at one thing. We have an essential thing that we have to have. That's food, right? I mean, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. In other words, God will always provide food for His people. But He didn't say that I'd always be eating at Red Lobster. Now, I realize you can turn on the TV and a preacher will tell you that if you have faith and God's really moving in your life, you'll be sitting down at Olive Garden and Red Lobster every single meal. But the Word of God doesn't have anything to say about that stuff. There might be times that I just get minute rice and peanut butter and jelly. And you know what? That's all God's promised me. Because that would be my necessity. I mean, it is a requirement for me that I would eat. So God said, I will come down and meet all of those requirements. But the sad thing is He's not Santa Claus and I don't write out a wish list of what I want everything to be and send it up to Him and then get mad at Him if He doesn't provide it. Another thing we need to understand is transportation in the day and hour that we live in is a necessity. I mean, I feel that we can say that. I mean, the fact of the matter is because of the way that our society has designed itself, I mean, we have to be able to drive to work. I mean, Brother Boyer, you couldn't do your job if you didn't have a vehicle. You're going places all the time, things like that. I mean, I couldn't go and visit everybody I need to visit. I mean, there's been times where I have somebody in the hospital in Fort Wayne, somebody in the hospital in Elkhart, and somebody in the hospital in South Bend. That's a lot of walking in a day, isn't it, folks? It's not going to happen. So we understand it's essential, it's a necessity that we would have transportation. But that doesn't mean I'm going to have a BMW. I might have to take the city bus. I might have a Ford Pinto. But my needs will be met. You understand what I'm saying? My needs will be met, but that doesn't mean that my desires are going to be. So first of all, when we're understanding that God is extending a promise to our lives, we need to understand what this promise consists of. And we need to understand He's not a genie in a bottle that we come out and say, okay, God, I want this, and I want it this way, and I want it... That isn't the way that it works. He said, if you have a need in your life, you can rest secure that I will come down and I will provide it for you. But don't try getting mad at God just because you're telling Him what kind of car you want and it's not sitting in your garage. Or because you had to have Hamburger Helper last night instead of eating, you know, at a villa or whatever pizzeria place, you know. Villa Pizzeria, man, that shows how old I am, man. That place has been gone for a long time. Second thing I want you to notice about this promise is that God promised to meet our needs. Okay? Now, I want you to notice that He didn't say that He'd just take knowledge of them. He wouldn't just realize that they're there, because that's what other people do. I mean, there might be needs that Brother Bernie has that he can tell me about, and he doesn't have the power to meet them, and I don't either, but that's not the way it is with God. I mean, He's not going to just take knowledge of them, but He's promised that He would meet our needs. Notice it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Notice that word, He shall, meaning that He is by all means going to do it. Now, here God's saying that if we have a need, He will most certainly bring it to pass. What a wonderful promise we could receive with all the needs that we have inside of our lives. In other words, He's saying, listen, I'm not just going to take notice of them. I'm not just going to see those needs in your life. I'm not just going to acknowledge that you have them, but I am promising you that I will meet them and I will accomplish those needs that you have in your life in full. It says that He would supply them. In other words, my mother has a need and I would come over and give her the answer to it. That's what God's saying here. And folks, we need to understand and realize that that promise is the basis of our faith. That means that we have absolutely no reason to wring our hands and worry when we have a need in our life. We don't need to be doubtful or downtrodden or get all double-minded when there's an area in our life that comes up that's a necessity, a need that we have to have met. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to get burdened down or become full of unbelief. But all we have to do is stand firm on this promise that God will do exactly what He said He would do, and He would come down and meet every single need that we have in our life. He said that He shall supply it. Now that sounds basic, but a lot of times when our back's up against the wall, we're wondering if God is really going to come through. You don't need to wonder about that. He's saying that if you have a need, He will meet that need. He shall supply it. Not might supply it. Not maybe will supply it. He will supply your need. And that means that even when there does not seem to be a way, when you're looking at insurmountable odds, God will come and make a way because it's a need inside of your life. I don't know if you've ever read about Hudson Taylor or George Mueller or all these different individuals that would take care of people. Like, let's use Mueller as an example, that ran that orphanage. Okay? And there would be so many different times that they would have absolutely no food, not just for those kids, but for himself. And he made it a rule that he would never tell anybody about his needs so that man wouldn't come and meet them. But all he would do is just pray and seek the face of God, tell the Lord about his needs, so that when those needs got met, he would know who he could give the glory to. Now understand, they ran out of food all of the time. Mueller would not tell another living soul about it. All he would do is get down on his knees and pray and say, Lord, you realize just like I do that this morning I have nothing to feed these kids. Hundreds of kids he would house. And you would read through there and you'd be amazed at the bakery trucks that all the tires would go flat right out in front of his house. And they'd say, well, all this stuff's going to go bad if we don't let somebody eat it. So why don't you just have your kids come out and help themselves? I mean, trucks that had meat in it that was frozen and the refrigeration would go bad and they had to get rid of the meat somehow, so they'd just take it over to Mueller's. I mean, circumstance over circumstance. I mean, here the guy is, he has nothing. He doesn't have any food, he doesn't have any money to get it. He's made a commitment to God that he's never going to tell anybody about the problems that he's facing. And every single time, regardless of how impossible those odds were, God came through and met his need. He didn't just confirm to him in prayer, yeah, you're right, you don't have any food. He wasn't just down there praying and saying, I'm not going to tell anybody else about this, God. We don't have any food. And all of a sudden he gets a knock at the door. Oh, Pastor so-and-so, what are you doing by the house? Just wanted to let you know that God laid on my heart that you don't have any food. He's heard your cry. I mean, that's not the way that it works. He said that he would meet our needs. Now, like I said, a lot of times that might sound basic and all that different stuff. Pastor, where are you going with this? But when we are going through circumstances that seem impossible to us, we have no problem believing that God knows all about them. But we have all kinds of difficulty believing that He's actually going to come and meet the need that we have inside of our life. But we need to understand, we're serving the same God that caused ravens to deliver food to the prophet when he was at Cherith. In the middle of a drought, of a famine that was killing off thousands of people. I mean, we're serving the same God that even when Pharaoh backed Moses and the Israelites up against the Red Sea with no way to turn, he split the Red Sea in half, folks. We need to understand, we are serving a God that makes a way even when there is no way. And it doesn't matter. I mean, if there is a need that is present, it doesn't matter if the circumstance seems impossible to you. We're serving a God in whom all things are possible. And if you have a need in your life, God has promised you that He would meet it. Folks, we've got to believe that with all of our heart. We've got to get a hold of the fact that this book isn't some kind of fantasy. It's not a book full of fairy tales. But when God sees a need in the lives of His people, regardless of how impossible it might seem, if He promised He would meet your need, then that's exactly what He's going to do. I mean, if you don't have any food and you're out in the desert, He'll cause it to fall out of the sky. If you don't have any water and you're dying of thirst, He'll make water come out of a rock. Why? Because He's always going to keep His promises. You know, I remember one time when I was a new convert, I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was talking with an individual, you know, and they thought I was being really forceful and thought I was, you know, getting, you know, kind of blasphemous or something like that. But I said, you know, I know God is going to fill me with the Holy Ghost because He has to, because He promised that He would. And the guy said, well, I don't know if I'd look at it like that. Well, by all means, you can look at it like that. And then, Brother G.O., whatever need me and you might have in our lives, we can look at all those needs that way because that's what God's promised us. We can get down. It says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find grace to help in our time of need. And we can say, listen, Lord, You promised me that You would meet my every need, all those things that are essential to my life. I'm not asking for a BMW. I'm asking You to put some food on my table for my kids. Lord, I can believe that You're going to do that. You can even almost demand it. I don't mean that in a blasphemous way. But when we serve a God that has promised He would do something, you can stand on that promise. You can confidently declare and have all confidence in the world that He's really going to do what He said He would do. Why do we doubt? Where's any room for being double-minded in the middle of that promise? The third thing that I want you to notice about this promise is the fact that it is all-inclusive. Okay? Now, I want you to pay particularly close attention to the amount and the extent of our needs that the Lord said He would meet. It says, but my God shall supply all your need. Okay? Very clear, isn't it? It says very clearly that He would supply them all. Not just part of what we're facing, not just some of what we're in need of, not just the overwhelming majority of our circumstance, but He promised in the Word of God that He would supply all of our need. Now that verse is telling us that no matter what we're in need of, God has got us covered. Meaning that God will meet our every need and He can do anything about anything. That means that nothing is beyond Him and nothing is beneath Him. Nothing's too big for Him. Nothing's too small for Him. He's concerned about it all, and He can by all means take care of it all, because He said that He would meet all of our needs. Now, because of our own human frailty and inabilities, sometimes it's hard for us to understand and accept the fact that we're never going to have to face anything in our life that God will not have the power or the desire to see us through. And because it's so impossible to us, it just seems like it's impossible, period. But folks, we can never forget that the writers of the Word of God really meant it when they said, "My God shall supply all of your need." Amen. When Peter said that we can cast all of our care upon Him, he really meant what he was saying. When Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." I mean, he was being serious when he said that. I mean, when it comes to God meeting our needs, each one of these writers chose their words very carefully, and they all chose the same word to use. In other words, the Spirit of God moved on their hearts and their mind to pick the specific word to write in every single one of those verses and many more. And it's the word "all." Every single one of our needs that we could ever face, God has promised to meet them all. Fourth thing that I want you to notice about this promise is the reason that God can come and meet our needs. Now, after you consider the fact that we're serving a God that has promised that He would come and meet any need that we would ever have to face in our life, the question should no doubt arise in your mind of how in the world is there an entity out there that could possibly do that? I mean, think about it. Any need, no matter how big, no matter how small. When my little girl, when my wife was going to deliver our second child, Sage, and her heartbeat stopped for 10, 15 minutes, and all that stuff was taken, and you're facing an impossible situation, and God has promised that if I have a need in my life, I could call on Him and He would meet it. I mean, how in the world can there be an entity that can do those things? Well, it's answered in our text very clearly. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory." Or because of, or based off of His riches and glory. In other words, this verse is saying that the reason God can meet any need that will ever possibly come across in our life is because of the fact that He is completely omnipotent. He can do absolutely anything, folks. He is limitless in His authority and in His abilities. It's no wonder why He can make that promise. Listen, we can rest secure in the promise of this text simply because of the power of the person that is making that promise. He is Almighty God extending a promise to you that says that no matter what you are in need of, He will come down and meet that need in your life. Let me put it to you like this. If we're serving a God that spoke the entire world into existence, it says, by just a word of His power, then surely we can believe that He can come down and take care of our problems. I mean, if the Word of God says that by Him all things consist, then surely I can get a hold of the fact that He can come down and meet any need that I could ever possibly have in my life. Because after all, any need that is represented in this world is something that is within the realm of His control because He's created everything. I mean, when the Bible tells me that at the name of Jesus Christ that every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord, then why would I ever have any difficulty believing that no matter what it is I ever have to face, God can come down and take care of that need in full? So that means that when my bank account and my bills don't add up, I don't have to worry, I don't have to fret, I don't have to get all discouraged, but I can take that need before the Lord and expect Him to come down and move on my behalf if I'm being faithful and being a good steward with my money. That means that if I'm in the doctor's office and I'm receiving bad news and they say, "Mr. Kincaid, I hate to tell you this, but there's nothing else that we can do," and then that doesn't mean that I am hopeless. I have a helpless estate, but I don't have a hopeless estate because I can still turn to God and say, even though the doctors can't do anything for me, I am turning to You because I know that You can meet my every need. We don't have any business doubting God. And you want to know why? Because of who He is. If He can create these bodies, He can heal them too, folks. If He can put us inside of a world that is full of problems, He can take care of whatever problems we come across. And why would we ever think anything different? Fifth thing brings to mind about this promise, I want you to notice this, is the fact that since this promise is extended to us, we ought to be extremely thankful, don't you think? Now, I want you to notice how verse 20 finishes out our text. It says this. Here's the promise in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, here's how He finishes it. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, what's Paul doing here because of this promise? Well, he's praising God because of the promises extended towards his life. Amen. I mean, he's thanking God for this provision that God is giving to him. He's glorifying the Lord for this guarantee that has been extended to his life. All in all, he's saying, Lord, I want you to know that I do not take this promise for granted, but I want you to know that I'm showing you my gratitude and I'm expressing to you how grateful that I really am that it actually applies to my life. Because I understand that all of these needs that I have, I can't meet for myself. And if you wouldn't be kind enough to extend this provision towards me, I'd be in a real mess. And I'm humble enough and I'm thankful enough to admit that. And folks, that means that we need to come to God very soberly, very seriously, and very sincerely. And we need to say, Lord, I want to thank you so much for the fact that since there are going to be times in my life where I'm going to face problems that I can't do anything about, and I'm going to have to face situations that I will be absolutely powerless against. And even though I'm going to have to go up against all kinds of circumstances that are completely beyond my realm of possibilities, I'm glad that I'm never going to have to go up against anything that's going to be beyond yours. And Lord, I want you to understand that just like the one leper that turned back, God, I'm coming back to tell you that I am really thankful that you actually are omnipotent and you can do anything. I'm glad for your thoughtfulness and your consideration towards my helpless estate, that even though there's all kinds of problems and needs that I have in my life that I can't do anything about, you're concerned enough about me that you promised that you'd come down and do for me what I could not do for myself. Lord, I want you to know I'm thankful for that. I realize where I would be had you not given me this provision and promise in my life. I mean, if I didn't have any air, I'd be in a real mess. If I didn't have any food or water, I'd be in a real mess. I mean, if I was constantly at odds with everybody and you did not give us the grace to be able to reconcile things, Lord, I'd be in a real mess. I'd be paranoid every single minute of every single day. If you would not have provided the blood of Jesus Christ so that I could be cleansed and brought into right standing with you, I'd be in a real mess indeed. And Lord, because of those things, I want to thank you that you have met my needs. And I want to thank you that no matter what needs I'll ever come across, you promise that you'd meet them too. Sister, if you go ahead and come. Folks, I'm trying to get you to see that we can take great confidence in the fact that no matter what we face, God has promised to see us through. He didn't say that we're always going to have a fancy car in the garage. He didn't promise we'd always have a T-bone on the grill. But He said we'd always have food. We'd always have a means of transportation. He'd always come down and take care of us and meet our needs, but He never said that He'd meet our wants. And that means that because of this promise, we don't need to worry. We don't need to fret, and we don't need to be burdened down, but all we have to do is stand on this promise and proclaim the same reaction of our text. The promise is this: our God shall supply all of our needs based off of His resources. He promised that He would do it. Amen. We can proclaim the same reaction. Now unto God be glory forever and ever that this promise is even extended towards my life, because I realize where I'd be without it. Whenever we're going through difficult circumstances, and I'm not talking about, you know, just sickness or something like that. I'm talking about any time we have a need in our life that we can't meet for ourselves. Do you want to know what the devil does first thing? I mean, you can all tell me, can't you? I mean, he comes and he says, listen, this thing you're facing is impossible. You can't take care of this. You're in big trouble. No, we're not. He tells half to, yeah, we would be in big trouble if God wouldn't have extended us this promise. But since our God can do anything about anything, since He'll come down and make a way even when there is no way, since He has promised that He would meet our every need, not just some of them, not just part of them, but all of them, why in the world do we have to listen to anything He has to say? We need to decide this morning who it is we're going to listen to. Somebody that is full of truth, or somebody that tells just enough of the truth to try to trick you and get you to do the things that they're trying to convince you to do. Here's how it works. After you've heard a message like this morning, that you realize there's no need for us to worry. We can take confidence in God. He promised He'd meet our every need, right? Right? Okay. I mean, we can rest secure in that. We know the Word of God has said that. So when you leave today and you run into a circumstance or a problem that's out of your control that you can't do anything about, and the first thing the devil does is come and jumps on your back and says, oh boy, this is out of your control. I mean, you might as well give up. There's no fix for this one. You have to decide, am I going to listen to anything that he has to say? Am I going to allow myself to become discouraged, worried, anxious, stressed out about the situation that I'm facing, or am I going to rest secure in the promise that I have clearly been given in the Word of God and just simply fall on my knees and expect God to meet me there and do exactly what He said He would do? How different would our lives be if we would actually stand on the promises instead of just knowing them, folks? Let's go ahead and stand. Listen. We've got a God that is good enough to regard our completely helpless estate. I mean, He understands there's going to be things that we face that we do not have the power or the ability to do anything about. And because of that, He's extended His goodness towards every single one of our lives and said, I will come down and work out the problems that are too big for you. Let's learn to let Him. Let's make the decision we're not going to listen to an enemy that's telling us half-truths. But let's make the decision that we're going to listen to a God that loves us who's telling us full truths. Because there's a result from listening to either one of those sides. Discouragement, defeat, being downtrodden, stressed out, worried, anxious. I mean, that's one road you can go. Or having confidence and expecting God to come do what He promised He would do, and then getting to experience God's best, just like He promised that we would. Seems like a no-brainer to me, doesn't it? Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love You with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We are so thankful that You see our helpless estate. You have not left us here to try to get through life with power that just isn't there. But Lord, You said, I see Your needs. I understand what is beyond Your capabilities. And I've promised that I would come down and meet those things for You in full. I pray that as we gather around the altars this morning, Lord, that You would help us all to make the decision that when the devil jumps on our backs and tries to convince us that we're in big trouble, that we need to get stressed out and worried about all the things that we're facing, we would learn to blow that off and just put all of our faith and trust in the promise that we've been preaching about this morning, that You said You would meet our every need, no matter how big and no matter how small. Lord, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy towards our life. In Jesus' name. Now, folks, as we come around the altar this morning, I don't know if you're facing a circumstance this morning. I don't know if God's trying to prepare you mentally and spiritually for what you might be facing in the days ahead. But I want you to take very seriously what the Word of God had to say. Like I said, it's my prayer that this wouldn't just be truth that we understand intellectually and we leave with, but we would come down to these altars and get our hearts prepared to where we actually begin to experience it and get excited about it. Because that promise is alive. It's not dusty truth that we hang on a wall and are just glad that it's there. It's something that we place inside of our hearts and our minds, and it gets us through life if we'll just let it. But we got to make that decision. Amen. Let's come and pray.